Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. Articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald for February the 4th, 2026. Your readers today are Sue, Bill and Jane. Twiddling the knobs and pressing the buttons is me, Martin. Roger is copying the broadcast to send to you.
Hello, this is Jane. £300 raised to support air ambulance. A house builder has donated £300 to support the life-saving work of an air ambulance service. David Wilson Homes Southern, based in Oxfordshire, made the contribution to Thames Valley Air Ambulance, which delivers critical emergency care across Oxfordshire, Berkshire and Buckinghamshire. The charity, based at RAF Benson and close to the house builder's Chilton Grange development, operates around the clock, deploying specialist paramedics and doctors by helicopter and rapid response vehicles. Ruth Duncan, head of community and events at Thames Valley Air Ambulance, said, "Thanks to the generosity of David Wilson Homes, we can continue to reach more people in urgent need. We're extremely grateful for their support and commitment to our local community." Since its launch in 1999, the charity has grown to serve more than 2 million people and last year responded to 3,129 emergency calls. Campbell Gregg, Managing Director at David Wilson Homes Southern, said, "We are delighted to support Thames Valley Air Ambulance, which provides vital, life-saving care."
Hello, my name's Bill, and this article is entitled Milestone as Affordable Homes Are Handed Over. And there's an accompanying photo of dignitaries standing outside one of the homes. A new milestone has been reached in the growing housing development. More homes have been handed over at the Valley Park scheme in Didcot, where Persimmon Homes Wessex is working alongside CBRE Investment Management and Pinnacle Group to deliver affordable housing. The 15 latest properties mark the final handover in a total of 59 affordable homes delivered in the first phase of the development. Berthia Thomas, leader of Vale of the White Horse District Council, said, "I was pleased to visit the new homes in Valley Park and learn about the sustainable features which will help keep energy bills and running costs low for families. These homes will make a much needed contribution to the availability of affordable housing in the Vale. I'm thrilled this major site with its new schools and community facilities will be home to thousands of local families for many years to come. The homes are designated for local residents and aim to reduce pressure on the area's housing waiting list. They form part of a broader partnership between Persimmon and CBREIM to deliver 102 affordable homes across two phases at Valley Park. John Gantlett, Land and Planning Director at Persimmon Homes, said, "Persimmon is delighted to partner once again with CBREIM and Pinnacle after establishing a positive relationship with them across several sites over the years. Tackling the housing crisis requires a positive and collaborative approach, and we were pleased to welcome Councillor Berthia Thomas to site so she could see this in action. We've made a great deal of progress on site at Valley Park, having recently broken ground on the new school and handing over all our housing provider properties on the first phase, and we look forward to continuing that good work moving forward. The site will eventually include 4,254 homes, two primary schools, a special educational needs school, sports facility and local centres. All Persimmon properties, including the homes awarded to registered housing providers, will be equipped with air source heat pumps, electric vehicle charging points and solar panels. Homes currently available for purchase start at £216,995. Oliver Miller, Director of Rental Pinnacle Group, said, This handover marks an important milestone for the community, and we're committed to ensuring residents receive excellent management and support from day one. Working collaboratively with Persimmon Homes and CBREIM has helped us deliver homes that local families can truly rely on, and we look forward to continuing that partnership as the development progresses. The handover comes just weeks after construction began on a new three-form entry primary school for the site.
Hello, I'm Sue. Farmers blockaded Oxfordshire, Tesco and Asda depots in an increasingly intense dispute about fair prices. Up to 50 tractors, some sporting England and Union flags, blocked the entrance and exit to the supermarket's distribution centres on Thursday of last week. Tesco's depot is at Church Ward in Didcot, while Asda have one nearby off Sutton Courtenay Road. According to Farmers Weekly, the protest revolves around complaints from the industry about how low farm gate prices, meaning the value of agricultural goods directly from a farm. In addition, they are unhappy about cheap imports and supermarket margins. The blockade was put in place at just after 4 p.m. at the depots, with a linked one happening at the same time in Leicestershire. A local gym owner, Tom Shaw, said, "It's really affected our customers tonight, getting to us and indeed to anywhere in Didcot tonight." Farmers Take Action claimed credit for the protests and said that they stood down at around midnight following positive talks with representatives of both Tesco's and Asda supermarkets. The grassroots movement campaigns for meaningful change and fights for a fair future for everyone who feeds, supports and sustains our nation. According to Farmers Weekly, the protests have been described as a call for fair food prices for farmers. Reportedly, no arrests were made and Tesco has not responded to a request for comment. An Asda spokesperson said they were proud of their relationships with UK farmers. A spokesperson said, "We are proud to have many long-standing relationships with British farmers and suppliers. As a retailer, our priority is to provide a range of products to customers at the value they expect, and we offer a wide range of British products across all our stores." The supermarket chain added that they were not aware of any knock-on impacts on in-store stock or availability in Oxfordshire. The Director of Food and Sustainability at the British Retail Consortium, Andrew Apey, the Trade Association for Local Businesses, said that retailers are committed to paying a sustainable price. Mr. Opie said, "Food retailers source and will continue to source the vast majority of their food from the UK and are proud to support British agriculture. Supermarkets remain committed to paying farmers a sustainable price for their produce, and supply chains are strictly regulated by the Groceries Code Adjudicator to ensure suppliers are treated fairly." Farmers Weekly quoted Oxfordshire farmer David Waters, who works in the area. He said, "Every single one of the drivers was grateful. A lot of people employed by Tesco support us as well. We have been very well behaved." Farmers Take Action have also been approached for comment, including on the possibility of future protests. And there's a picture of a very large tractor with a container on the back in its efforts to block the road.
Man found dead, inquest told. A man was found dead at a property he was renovating, an inquest heard. Lee Martin Thompson died at a property in Cholsey near Wallingford on Monday, January the 5th. An inquest into the 32-year-old's death was opened at Oxford Coroner's Court by Area Coroner Nicholas Graham on Thursday, January the 29th. The vehicle technician, who lived in Abingdon, was found at a property in Rowland Road, the inquest heard. His cause of death following post-mortem has been given as hanging. The full inquest is set to take place at the same court on the 7th of May at 2 p.m.
This article is entitled, "Up to £250,000 in funding made available." And there is an accompanying photo of a nondescript football pitch. Q Communities could benefit from fresh funding to improve local facilities, with up to £250,000 available per project. South Oxford District Council has launched a second round of applications for its Community Infrastructure Levy, CIL, grant fund, making a total of £750,000 available to support important community facilities across the district. The funding is aimed at town and parish councils, as well as not-for-profit community groups, with grants ranging from £75,000 to £250,000 for projects that support growing communities. Pieter Paul Barker, Cabinet Member for Finance at South Oxford District Council, said, "We're pleased to open this second round of CIL funding. By using contributions from developers, we can support projects that help our communities grow. This fund will help create and improve local spaces that support people's well-being and keep our growing neighbourhoods thriving. The funding supports facilities needed as a result of new development, such as community centres, sports and cultural facilities, open spaces and play areas. Applications must be submitted by 5 p.m. on March the 30th.
Rising youths kicking doors sparks warning. A rise in youths kicking doors following previous reports last year of the trend has led to a police warning in Didcot. Thames Valley Police said the incidents are taking place in Didcot once again. The force is urging members of the public to report the incidents and to save footage or images of suspects. It comes after the force reported an increase in the activity due to publicity on social media channels. A spokesperson for the force said, "The local neighbourhood team is aware of a few individuals that are involved in these incidents and some have already received acceptable behaviour contracts. Although it may seem like a small issue, the door-kicking incidents are affecting residents on the other side of the door. From the residents' perspective, it could sound like someone trying to gain entry to their home, and we have had reports of children being scared to go to bed and residents worried for their own safety following door-kicking incidents. As a neighbourhood team, incidents such as this are becoming a priority as it is affecting our community massively. Please report this to us, and if you or someone you know is involved, we urge you to look at this from the residents' perspective and seize this behaviour so the team can spend time and resources on more serious offences rather than your silly pranks."
Residents left shocked by tragic deaths, says councillor. People in Didcot have been shocked by the deaths of two people in the area in two separate tragedies, according to a leading councillor. At the end of last month, a manslaughter investigation was launched at a warehouse run by publisher Hachette in Milton Road, between Milton and Didcot. On the 20th of January, a 23-year-old Polish man died inside the warehouse, and a 21-year-old man from Wallingford has been arrested on suspicion of gross negligence manslaughter. He has been released on police bail while police inquiries continue. Vale of Whitehorse District Council confirmed it has joined the investigation as it probes health and safety at the distribution centre. The Health and Safety Executive is not involved in the investigation because the site falls within the remit of the council. On the 27th of January, police officers were called to the park in Harwell, where Helen Rundle, aged 64, died at the scene despite efforts to save her by authorities. Carl Rundle, aged 41, of the park, Harwell, has been charged with one count of murder by Thames Valley Police. Didcot South District Councillor Mocky Khan, a former town mayor, said people in Didcot were shocked by the deaths. He added everyone is shocked by these deaths, the whole town and its residents. Whenever there is news of a tragedy or anything that is suspicious, everyone in Didcot feels aware of what is going on and feels sad for the victims and their families. I want to remind people that the police are always looking after us. Didcot is still a safe place. These are shocking incidents, but they are rare. As a community, we need to look after each other. Becca Fletcher, County Councillor for Harwell, Western Valley and Blueberry, also spoke on behalf of the community following Ms. Rundle's death. She said, "I was also shocked and saddened by the news. My heartfelt condolences go out to the family and friends of the victim at this incredibly difficult time. It does appear to be an isolated incident, and the police believe there is no wider risk to the community. But we should be reassured by the increased police presence in the area while the investigation is ongoing. I'm very grateful to the officers supporting those affected. If anyone does have any information, I would ask them to please contact Thames Valley Police." Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover also expressed his sadness following Miss Rundle's death. He said, "My thoughts are with the family and friends of the woman who lost her life. I encourage anyone with information that may be relevant to the investigation into what happened to contact the police. Rundle was due to appear at Oxford Crown Court on Tuesday."
This article is entitled "Woman Was Left Bruised After Station Assault." A woman was left bruised and swollen after being assaulted while leaving a railway station. Thames Valley Police said the incident, in which a woman in her 50s was assaulted while leaving Didcot Parkway station at around 3:10 p.m. on Thursday, January the 15th. The victim suffered bruising and swelling to the back of her head, as well as redness to her face, said the force. Investigating Officer PC Megan Toms said, "I am appealing to anyone who witnessed this assault or has information that may assist us to please get in touch. If you recognise the man in the accompanying image, or if this is you, please contact us, as we think this person may have information to assist our investigation. Anyone with information can contact police on 101 or report it online via their website," quoting reference 432 600 230 35.
Artisan Bakery is named among the very best in the UK. A South Oxfordshire artisan bakery has been named among the best in the UK. Imma, the bakery in Stoke Row near Wallingford, has officially been named one of the top 13 artisan bakeries in the country. Founded by Tona Erigin, the artisan sourdough bakery focuses on traditional methods, sustainability and community-driven, soul-touching excellence. A philosophy student turned baker, Tona has worked in fine dining and opened a restaurant in Mexico before relocating to the UK. In just 3 years, she has transformed Imma, the bakery, into a national benchmark for artisan sourdough. Her unique approach combines the precision of fine dining with a philosophical dedication to community sustainability and local grains. The new announcement was made today, that's Wednesday, January the 28th, as part of the Artisan Collective, where the highly anticipated Baker's Dozen 2026 list was revealed in partnership with British Baker. To become part of this prestigious list, Imma the Bakery was selected through a unique peer-voted process. Over 100 industry experts, including master bakers, millers and bakery suppliers, voted for the establishments they believe represent the absolute pinnacle of British artisan baking. This recognition cements a remarkable year for founder and head baker Tona Erigin. Recently crowned Baker of the Year at the Baking Industry Awards, Tona's vision for real bread has seen the Stoke Row-based bakery rise from a local gem to a national destination for bread enthusiasts. "To be named among the Baker's Dozen is a deeply proud moment for us," she said. "This list is voted for by our peers, the people who know exactly how much passion, early hours and technical discipline goes into every single loaf. To be recognised by this community is the ultimate validation of our philosophy, baking with soul, intention, the best local ingredients and creating a strong connection between people and food. Imma the Bakery has gained a cult following for its signature sourdoughs and technical pastries, most notably the Oxford Country Loaf, which previously won the plain sourdough category at Britain's Best Loaf. And there's a picture of Tona Erugan of the bakery in front of several of her sourdough loaves.
Sailor completes half of Round the World Yacht Race. A sailor who has completed half of a Round the World Yacht Race was celebrated at a weekend homecoming event. Bruce McDonald, a long-serving BMW employee, took part in the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race, covering four of the race's eight grueling legs during nearly 5 months at sea. His wife, Nikki, said Bruce left Portsmouth on the 31st of August 2025, when the race started, and the race ends on the 25th of July, and each boat has about 6 to 10 circumnavigators that do the whole trip, which is eight legs. Bruce did four, which he found very hard to leave, and they didn't want him to leave, but I'm glad to have him home. This has been a massive confidence builder for him and huge life challenge. I am so proud of him. Friends and family gathered together to celebrate Bruce's homecoming at the Cholsey Pavilion in Station Road at Cholsey near Wallingford on Saturday. Both Bruce and his wife are members of the Dorchester Sailing Club. Bruce began his journey in Portsmouth and travelled across the Atlantic to Uruguay, down to Cape Town, then through the Southern Ocean to Fremantle, and finally on to Airlie Beach. He returned home earlier this month, and there is a photograph of a group of them having a great time and an action shot of him on the water.
This article is entitled Supermarket Reports All Too Frequent Power Cuts. Repeated power cuts in Wallingford and the surrounding villages are causing annoyance and inconvenience, affecting businesses and even forcing a major shop to temporarily close. Lidl in Lupton Road had to shut its door to customers for several hours on Monday of last week after an unplanned power cut made it impossible to continue operating. It's one of many unplanned outages which have become all too familiar to locals who have been dealing with flickering lights or shutdowns for hours over this winter, in addition to previous years. Mayor of Wallingford, Ross Lester, said, "Wallingford residents are fed up with the power cuts without any warning or apology. They can be anywhere and at any time, with some areas getting more than others. They can be anywhere and at any time, with some areas getting more than others. We also get the flickering lights and you hold your breath waiting for it to all go off, and more than often nothing happens. In our house, we have torches in strategic places just in case. I feel sorry for businesses who have to close and also worry about their freezers and fridges. There seems to be no rhyme or reason for these cuts." Lidl declined to comment but did confirm that an outage caused the store to close, though the situation does not occur frequently. A spokesperson for SSEN said the company was alerted to the fault at noon on Monday, January the 26th, which affected 100 customers, and power was restored just after 2:45 p.m. Earlier this month, MP for Henley and Tame, Freddie Van Milo, addressed the Minister of Energy, Michael Shanks, on the issue. The Liberal Democrats said, "With the increased frequency of stormy weather as a result of climate change, the rural communities I know are sadly all too familiar with long periods without power. What is the government doing to ensure that older and more vulnerable residents get the support they need during cuts? Will the minister commit to delivering a strategic plan to improve the resilience of rural power networks?" The minister responded that there are lessons learned after significant power failures like storms, and the best thing to do is invest in the future of the grid. In Wallingford, as with many smaller towns and villages, power is supplied through an overhead network which can be exposed to trees, vegetation, wildlife and flooding. SSEN said depots are staffed by people who live and work locally, who can respond quickly to outages. And the network is undergoing refurbishment in line with the utility company's maintenance programme. Catherine Keats-Rowan, Wallingford councillor and chairwoman of South Oxford District Council, said, "Personally, I've been fortunate not to be affected, but I know that these outages have become all too frequent and are causing more and more annoyance and inconvenience. People want the problem to be properly investigated and fixed once and for all. Nothing seems to have led to a final solution of the problem so far."
Show returns to county with live music, comedy and dance. The Oxfordshire Gang Show is set to return with a fresh production brimming with music, comedy and dance. Taking place from February the 17th to the 21st at Radley College, the show offers an evening of live entertainment highlighting youthful talent and community spirit. The show is part of the nationally recognised gang show movement originating in the 1930s and is run entirely by members of the Scout and Girl Guiding community. Participants include Beavers, Cubs, Scouts, Rainbows, Brownies, Guides, Rangers, Explorers and young leaders who practice and perform alongside volunteers. The event allows these young people to develop their confidence, teamwork and performance skills, often producing lifelong memories. Many past performers fondly remember the gang show as a highlight of their youth, with some even returning years later as adult volunteers. Audience members can anticipate a fast-paced variety show packed with laughs, toe-tapping songs and impressive choreography suitable for all ages. The show offers a warm, welcoming atmosphere and a chance to support local young people as they take to the stage. There will be several performances across the week, including evening shows and a Saturday matinee, offering friends and families various opportunities to attend. The show venue includes amenities such as easy access, free parking and refreshments. Tickets are now available for purchase via the Oxfordshire Gang Show box office website.
Mystery over vehicle regularly tearing up the grass. A mystery has emerged on a housing estate in Didcot over a vehicle which has been regularly tearing up the grass on a pavement. People who live on the Lady Grove estate in Didcot have grown concerned over the health of green spaces around their homes as track marks have been left over grass patches. John Milton, who lives in South Lady Grove, said he is trying to pin down what vehicle is regularly driving over the wet grass and turning the green patch to mud in order to stop it. Mr. Milton said there are other instances of a similar nature on the Lady Grove estate. In the past, it was caused by the vehicles of the bin emptying crews, but I believe their routes were changed to overcome the problem. This latest issue seems to have been the work of crews cutting back vegetation in various sites. I suspect a council vehicle, but I haven't seen it happening, and I have not reported it as I don't have enough detail. South Oxfordshire District Council, which is responsible for bin collections and cutting back vegetation, like trees in public spaces, denied that it was any of its crews who made the tyre marks. Oxfordshire County Council, which manages the vegetation around footpaths and verges on highways, said it could not confirm or deny if it was any of its teams. The mystery continues, and Mr. Milton added, "If anyone has seen it happening, please let me know. If I can pin it down, I will do all I can to curtail it."
This article is entitled "New Sculpture Course Launches at Studio," and there's an accompanying photo of Jenny Dawson at the Parkway Art Studio in Didcot. A community pottery and art studio in Didcot is running a sculpture course. The studio is based in the Sohar Housing Building in Liddell's Road, where there is also a repair cafe. Jenny Dawson, who runs the Parkway Art Studio, is about to launch a new course. She said, "I will be starting a sculpture course on February the 9th, which will be held on Mondays over several weeks. It will be nature-themed, with sculptures modelled in stoneware clay, which will be glazed and fired. Busy Repair Cafe sessions have also been hosted at the building. The Repair Cafe is run by Sustainable Didcot and takes place on the third Saturday of every month in the Green Hub at the Sohar Housing Base. People are invited to bring items that need fixing, including garments to stitch, tools to sharpen, electronics to mend, or whatever else the volunteers can try to fix. There is no charge for fixing items, but there is a request for donations towards costs.
Station artworks celebrate town heritage. A railway station has been transformed with public artworks celebrating Didcot's heritage and community. Didcot Parkway is now home to a series of artworks installed as part of the Connecting Communities Arts Project, funded by Great Western Railway's Customer and Community Improvement Fund. The pieces, developed through community engagement and shaped by input from young people, volunteers and local groups, extend into the Cow Lane underpass. Anne-Marie Simpson, Cabinet Member for Planning Policy, including Garden Communities, said, "This project is a fantastic example of how creativity and community involvement can transform public spaces. The new artworks not only brighten a well-used walking and cycling route, but also celebrate Didcot's heritage and the people who live here. We are pleased to see local young people and community groups at the heart of shaping a space that feels safer, more welcoming and connected." And there is a photograph in the paper of two gentlemen sitting in front of a very striking, colourful picture of what seems to be representing a Didcot railway station.
Bus Group will continue £3 fare cap scheme. Oxfordshire's leading bus operators have confirmed their continued participation in the government's £3 fare cap scheme. The Oxford Bus Group, Oxford Bus Company, Thames Travel, Carousel Buses and Pullum's Coaches will continue to offer the scheme until the end of 2026. It limits adult single bus fares to £3 in England, excluding London. Most fares on the group's networks are already below this cap. Luke Marion, Bus Group MD, said the scheme has helped us boost passenger numbers and reinvest in developing our network to continue to make bus travel as accessible and attractive as possible. For example, we will soon be welcoming 13 new electric buses to Oxfordshire Roads as we expand our fleet of electric vehicles across the county. The fare cap supports the government's efforts to address cost of living pressures and promote sustainable travel. Passengers are encouraged to consider multi-journey and period passes for further savings, offering unlimited travel in the selected period. An adult City Zone four-week pass costs £64 on the Oxford Bus and Thames Travel mobile app and covers travel on City and Park and Ride services, as well as Thames travel routes within the City Zone area. Concessionary bus pass holders can continue to use their passes as usual. Free Flow users should remember to tap on and off to ensure they are charged the correct fare, or they will be charged the maximum cost of £3.
This article is entitled "Nearly 20 New Co-op Stores Set to Open." Almost 20 new co-op stores, including several in Oxfordshire, are set to open in the coming months. The business will open 18 new premises soon, including stores and reopening outlets across the UK, with a new store in Willowbrook Park, Didcot, the first to reopen 2 weeks ago. The purpose-built new convenience store in Didcot has created 11 local jobs and opens between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. daily. Costa Coffee Express, bakery and hot food are available alongside Co-op's focus on fresh, healthy produce, meats and dairy, food to go and meal deals, bakery, fair trade goods, pizzas, flowers, ready meals, award-winning wines and beers, and everyday essentials. Amanda Fleming, Co-op Area Manager, said, We're delighted to invest in Didcot and proud to be the first new store co-op in 2026. The store looks fantastic and we have a focus on being a hub locally for the community, delivering the quality, choice, value and added services which can be enjoyed by everyone. We're here to contribute to local life and conveniently serve and support the community. Kate McRae, Co-op Operations Director, said, "We're focused on creating local stores which are more than just a shop. They are a hub locally and contribute to local life and conveniently meet the needs of communities. I'm delighted to see our first new store open in Oxfordshire as we start 2026 with an active store opening programme to increase and enhance Co-op's presence across the UK."
Hands-on fun at school for International Day. Didcot Girls' School greeted visiting pupils as it celebrated its annual International Day. The school welcomed almost 250 primary school pupils from across Didcot and the surrounding area, and children were taken on a journey around the globe as they learnt about countries such as France, Germany, Peru, China, Denmark and Sweden. The event also featured hands-on cultural activities. At each country stand, pupils collected passport stamps and took part in hands-on cultural activities. These including creating Northern Lights-inspired artwork in Sweden and building Love Viking fortresses in Denmark. Didcot Girls' School students also contributed to this event, with over 30 enthusiastic Year 8 students demonstrating outstanding leadership and teamwork throughout. Many used the experience to work towards their gold badge on the Didcot Girls' School leadership ladder. The day ended with plenty of smiles as each child left with a suitcase of memories and a collection of crafts inspired by countries as varied as Austria and Brazil. And there's a lovely picture of all those pupils, primary school pupils, and then a small band of Didcot school girls at the back, all shouting hurrah.
Transport chief in potholes reply. Oxfordshire's transport chief hit back at criticism from Labour MPs about the council's record on potholes and says the problems are caused by a lack of government funding. It comes after the county was ranked amber for its pothole performance in the Department for Transport's new traffic light system, based on road conditions and how it spends the money it gets from the government. MPs Annalisa Dodds, Sean Woodwock, and leader of the County Council's Labour group, Liz Brighouse, wrote to Lib Dem Transport Chief Andrew Gant, expressing their disappointment about Oxfordshire's rating. But in his response earlier this week, Mr. Gant said there is one cause and one cause only of problems on Oxfordshire's roads, underfunding by your party's government. Tying up resources on a questionable colour-coded ranking exercise doesn't help fix a single pothole. While he welcomed the government's funding injection of £167.9 million to fix the county's potholes, he argued that the council do not get enough from the government to maintain the existing conditions of the network without making any improvements. He said Oxfordshire requires approximately £49.9 million annually, representing £41.9 million for core highway maintenance and a further £8 million for bridges. The government allocation for Oxfordshire for 2025-6 is £33.48 million. The council is therefore forced to make up the shortfall year after year.
This article is entitled, "Every Takes Action and Gives Out Cash." Every, that's E-V-R-I, has given out cash after a bone-brained Oxfordshire delivery left a parcel damaged. The customer, who lives in the south of the county and wished to remain anonymous, was handed £25 by the parcel delivery company, which also apologised to him. The man said, "I have instructed Every to donate the compensation to a deserving charity." A spokesman for Evri said, "We have taken action with a courier to ensure this doesn't happen again. Our customer service team contacted the customer to offer a suitable resolution on this incident. In early January, the customer shared a photo of his new curtain rail squeezed partially through his letterbox in the Wallingford area. The packaging was damaged and there was minor damage to the item, although it was still fit for purpose. When describing the delivery, the customer called it bone-brained. He said, if it had been left by my front door in a safe place, there would have been no problems. The customer said he had tried to complain to the company about the incident, but he struggled both with the chat bot online and to get through to a human via the phone. Responding to the incident, the delivery company said that most of its couriers are highly regarded and have an average star rating of 4.6 out of 5 this year.
Cancer survivor takes on epic 2,800-mile row across the Pacific. An Oxfordshire cancer survivor who rode the Atlantic unaware that she had stage 3 bowel cancer is teaming up with two friends to take on the challenge of a lifetime, rowing 2,800 miles across the Pacific Ocean. Felicity Ashley, aged 49, from Benson, is part of the Row for Life team who refuse to be defined by life storms and are taking on the challenge, not despite their struggles, but because of them. The rowing challenge is their statement that midlife women are just getting started, that mothers don't lose their edge, and that cancer survivors can still chase horizons. Their epic journey will raise money for Cancer Research UK. Felicity has had bowel cancer. Teammate and skipper Jeanette Polgita, age 43, has twice had melanoma skin cancer, and Victoria Peddy-Bell, age 50, lost her father to neuroendocrine cancer. Felicity also lost her father to renal cancer a day after she began her own chemotherapy treatment. Despite Victoria getting her first ever taste of open water rowing just last week, the crew will set off in June 2026 from Monterey, California to Hawaii. They will be in an open, unsupported ocean rowing boat, the length of two small cars, without any creature comforts. Their toilet is a bucket. As well as the unpredictable and powerful forces of Mother Nature, they will also need resilience to deal with sleep deprivation, chafing skin, seasickness, and the relentless strain on the body and mind of rowing 2 hours on and 2 hours off 24 hours a day. They hope to make it to Hawaii in less than 40 days. We're rowing for every woman who's been told she's not strong enough or should play it safe, and we'll be carrying with us everyone fighting their own battles, said Felicity. Every stroke will honour the strength we've discovered through adversity, the grit that carried us through chemotherapy, the resilience that turns self-doubt into determination, and the power that emerges when women support each other. And we row in partnership with Cancer Research UK, whose vital work gives hope to millions facing the fight of their lives. Felicity is married to Paul and is a mother to three children, Sam, Ben and Grace. And there are several pictures of Felicity and some with her friends, looking as though she's getting ready to take on this challenge.
That's very lovely.
That concludes this week's edition of Wallingford and District Talking newspaper. We hope you have enjoyed listening. Have a nice week until next time, and it's goodbye from us all. Goodbye.